Hey, good morning, church. Hey, I'm excited to be here this morning. And just to report, God is alive in you guys, and I see it. There have been a lot of opportunities to serve and to respond this season, this fall, and getting ready for Christmas coming up. And you guys are just coming out of the woodwork. In the very first week of Bethlehem Village signups, we had 212 people sign up, which is absolutely incredible. And it's not just the volunteer opportunities or the giving opportunities. I've been the adult ministries pastor here now for 4 years, and something's happening that I've never seen before. Time after time, I'm having leaders in adult ministries coming to me saying, "Greg, our group is open, our class is open, we just want what God has for us, and we're wondering what's next. Can we talk about that?" It's almost like God's like pulled back fingers and there's open hands saying, "We don't want what we want. God, we want what you want. And we want to follow you in that." And it's an exciting time to be a part of this church, and God is moving and will continue to move. And it makes me excited for us to be 2 weeks into this series that we're doing on the Holy Spirit, because is it not the Holy Spirit who moves? Well, this morning, there's a lot going on in the church, but I want to kind of narrow it down to what is going on with you right here where you're sitting today. And I have two questions for you this morning as we start off. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do before I ask them. I'm going to ask you to take either of those sermon notes that you have inside of your bulletin and get ready to write down your answer, or turn to the person that you came with and share it with them. I'll let you choose, okay? So get those ready, grab those pens. And the first question's a bit of a doozy. We're gonna dive right in. You ready for this? What words would you use to describe your current Christian experience? Think about this. There's some words that are gonna be up on the screen, and maybe these help describe it: exciting, confused, vibrant, non-existent, alive, up and down, stagnant, fulfilled. The spectrum is there, and you're somewhere on the spectrum. But how would you describe your current Christian experience this morning? Think about that. Write it down. Whisper it to the person next to you if you'd want. I'm going to give you a few seconds to chew on that one. There's a great opportunity here to be honest with ourselves, because it's interesting, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to like, it's supposed to alive, always alive, always alive. But if I'm honest with myself, probably in the last year, I've been most of all the words on that page at one point in time. Our Christian experience goes through a lot of different times and seasons, and we have ups and we have downs. And no matter what words you're using to describe yourself this morning, I want to throw out the second question, which is this. Do you desire more? Do you desire more? No matter where you are this morning, do you desire to experience more of what God has for you in your life? I love this. The energy is there, because here's the thing. If we're on the downslope and we're suffering and we're in a tough spot and it feels like God is distant, yes, we want more. And if God is near and we're just running after him in incredible ways, well, we're tasting something that, who wouldn't want more of that? Here are the words of Jesus in John chapter 7. He stood and he said in a loud voice, he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Are you thirsty this morning for more? Do you want more of God in your life? He says, "Come to me and drink." He goes on to say, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Did you catch that? Streams of living water. We sang that old hymn, you know, "I've got a river of life flowing out of me." That old, you know, gospel song. This is where it comes from. Life flowing out of us, life to the full that stirs up within us and can't be contained and pours out into those around us. But he goes on to describe what he's talking about in verse 39, and don't miss this. It says this very clearly. It says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Get this. The Spirit of God is the source of the deepest satisfaction in your life. Do you desire more of God? It is going to come from the Spirit of God. Living water flowing out of you through the Spirit. God's got that for you. He's not holding back on you. It is available to you, and we're going to talk about that more today. But if that's true, why are so many of us missing out? Why might we not experience that? There's a few reasons we're going to talk about today. The first is that it's quite possible that you don't have the Spirit of God in you. We'll talk about why that would be and how you can experience the Spirit. The second is maybe we don't know about the Spirit. Maybe our Christian lives have somewhat centered around the Father and the Son, but we're not really sure who the Spirit is and the role that he plays in our life. Or maybe we've steered away from the Spirit for different reasons. And the third reason possibly that we'll explore this morning is that we're simply not relying on the Spirit of God. We're doing it in our own strength. And church, this is what I want you to hear this morning. My heart for you is that I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to miss out on the Spirit of God in you and the life that comes from him. So let's pray and ask God to move in this time. If you just close your eyes and just pray silently with me that God would just take this time and use it for his purposes. And pray for yourself that your mind and your heart would be open to what God is going to be saying to you here this morning. And pray for me that as I preach this morning, it would be out of the Spirit of God working through me and that his words would come to all of us. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we're in week two of the Forgotten God series. And just to throw a loop, we are going to be covering chapter three this morning. So we'll get chapter three this week. We'll get chapter two next week. And then we'll go 4, 5, 6, 7 for the continuation of our series. If you haven't picked up this book, I encourage you to. I've been greatly encouraged by this book, challenged by this book. We had 75 copies. There are 30 left. So on your way out, grab your copy. It's $12. You probably won't find it anywhere cheaper than that. Once they're gone, you can still buy it online. But I encourage you, as we're going through this, to read along. There's a lot of things in the book that we're not going to talk about. But we invite you to kind of journey along with us as we go deeper into the Holy Spirit and understanding who the Holy Spirit is. Well, I heard this story once of this man who had bought a top-of-the-line chainsaw. But he returned to the hardware store with some serious complaints. He walked in and he found the manager and said, "Hey, I spent a lot of money on this. And it simply is not working. I went into my backyard and I have a few trees to chop down. And I spent hours out there and accomplished virtually nothing." Well, the manager's a little confused by this. It's an amazing chainsaw. So he kind of looks it over and, you know, kind of asks the guy, like, you know, "How long ago did you buy it?" "It was just a week ago." He's looking, the chain's not dull, and it doesn't look like there's anything leaking, and it looks virtually brand new. So right there in the middle of the store, he just takes it, and he just yanks the starter, and it fires right up. And the guy who bought it looks at him and says, "What is that?" It's a silly story, but it illustrates so well how many people live the Christian life. without understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the power that the Spirit gives us, we're trying to cut down trees with a chainsaw like this. It's going to end in futility and frustration. So how can we avoid this? Well, one, we got to ask the question, do you today have the Spirit of God inside of you? I'm going to look at one verse in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is an amazing chapter. We're going to talk about it more in the coming weeks. But the disciples are waiting for the Spirit to come at Pentecost, just like Jesus said. And the Spirit comes, and they're filled, and amazing things happen, and the people that are observing don't know what's going on, and it's confusing to them. And then Peter uses this opportunity to share the amazing news of Jesus. And it says the people who listen were struck to the heart and say, "What must we do?" And in verse 38, Peter says this. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He goes on in the following verse to say, this promise is for you, it is for your kids, and it is for everyone else who God has called to himself. And that means that if you are here today, this is still true. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, it means turn. Stop doing it your way. Relent. Give it over to God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I've been running from you. I turn to you. I give my life to you. My life is yours." And it says, be baptized. Baptized, where you're buried in the death of Christ and raised with him to new life. Now, this raises an interesting question of, do you get the Holy Spirit when you believe or when you're baptized or all these different things? And I'm not going to go into that this morning. I'm going to come back to the simple point it makes here that if you want to know that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you repent and are baptized, you know that you know that you know. We're going to make it simple this morning. You want to know that you know that you know that you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you? Have you come to a point in your life where you've turned to God and been baptized? You know, sometimes baptism is something that we can kind of avoid. We come to know Jesus, we follow him, but not sure we want to get baptized, or that seems a little strange, or I don't like being up in front of people. And God simply gives this invitation, repent and be baptized. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't been baptized, I invite you to be baptized. If you haven't repented, if you haven't turned to Jesus, I invite you, turn to Jesus. You can turn to Jesus this morning just simply in prayer, saying, "God, I repent of my sins. I know I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord." You can do that anytime, anywhere. I invite you, do that this morning. If you haven't been baptized, I want you to write this date down, Sunday, November 11th. It's a handful of weeks away. It's our next baptism service. In fact, on the cards in front of you, the connection cards, there's an opportunity to check on there, "I want to be baptized." And some of you this morning are going to say yes to that opportunity to get baptized on November 11th. You're invited. Fill out that card, pass it in the box on the way out. We'll get in touch with you and start the process of getting you prepared for November 11th, answering all your questions and letting you know what will happen then. But here's the deal. If you've repented, turned to Jesus, been baptized, then you can have confidence that the Spirit of God is inside of you. We'll get to that even more in a second. But if that's true, if you do have the Spirit of God inside of you, there's also a chance that maybe your experience is a little bit like me. I grew up in a church that was all about the Father and the Son, and then we had the Holy Mystery. I don't remember ever talking about the Holy Spirit growing up in church. The Holy Spirit truly was the forgotten God in my young Christian experience. And because of that, around the time I was in college, I started to ask some questions. So I went to my youth pastor that I worked with at the time and said, "Hey, what can you tell me?" He gave me this book by Chuck Swindoll called Flying Closer to the Flame. And I read that, and I started to get a little sense of who the Holy Spirit was. And then when I went to college, I connected with Campus Crusade for Christ, who told me all about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and understood more of just the practical theology, if you will, of understanding the Spirit's role in my day-to-day life. So I know firsthand that it's quite possible that the Holy Spirit's just been a bit off of our radar. So I want to share some basic theological truths, and these things I'm going to share are also in chapter 3 in here if you want to go a little deeper with them. But the first is just this, that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. You can see this chart that's up on the screen here. Oops, the one before that. Should be another slide before that. All right, there's not a slide before that. It's all right. The Holy Spirit is God. If you can see that God in the center there, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. There we go. The Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Spirit is God. Just like you pray to the Father, pray to the Son, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy and eternal, has been there from the beginning. God has always existed in this relationship of the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. As you read in books like the Psalms and 1 Corinthians, and we learn that the Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. So the Spirit is not a third of God. The Spirit is not a lesser part of God. The Holy Spirit is the fullness of God. Now, we must also describe a little bit that the Spirit is not a force. It's not like the Star Wars thing where you tap into this, like, this unpersonal force that exists out in the universe. In fact, we know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is a person. We know from Scripture that you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about in 3 weeks. What does it look like to have a relationship with the Spirit? Because also, we have this relationship in our flesh with this thing called sin, and they're battling each other. And what does that look like? And what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to win out and for sin to win out less and all those things? There's a dynamic going on there. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. The Holy Spirit has emotion. Scripture says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I was struck by this just worshiping there today, just that, man, sin is a real deal, and God is holy, and I'm not. My sin grieves God. We also know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Holy Spirit has a desire and has a will. So the Spirit is not just a force. The Spirit is God. Now, you might be wondering, what does that mean, is not, is not, is not? Now, here's another thing that's interesting about the Trinity, is that the Spirit is not the Son. The Spirit didn't die on the cross for your sins. The Son did. Sample of that. So this is where we get that other hymn that we see, you know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, right? So there is one God with three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, even though the Spirit is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Spirit is in the Father is in the Son, the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Spirit. And they also glorify each other. The Spirit glorifies the Father. The Son glorifies the Father. The Father brings glory to His Son, glory to the Spirit. Someone once said, and I don't know exactly who the quote was attributed to, but fail to understand the Spirit and you'll lose your soul. Try to understand the Spirit and you'll lose your mind. Here's the beauty of it, though. I'm perfectly okay with not being able to fully wrap my mind around God. But you see the picture starting to be painted there of this eternal relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then when you start to understand this third thing, that the Holy Spirit is God in us, it takes it to a whole nother level. Because the Spirit of God in us changes us, empowers us, guides us, unites us, prays for us, comforts us, purifies us. Remember earlier when you said that you desire something more? Does that look like a good something more right there? I need more of that. Wow. Empowers us. Do you know how many times that you just go through life and feel like, oh man, or take parenting, where I'm just interacting with my kids and I realize that was just totally me and it was lame. Man, my kids are probably bummed because they got me and it wasn't that great. But what about the times where my kids get the Spirit of God in me? Where the Spirit of God is empowering my parenting and there's this abounding love that can only be described as supernatural. See, the Holy Spirit is God in us. And I don't want us to miss that. Yet still, we can try to live this Christian life on our own power. So what does it mean then to rely on the Spirit? How do we do that? And I'm going to, we're going to illustrate this a little bit this morning. But I want to just like reiterate for us that the Christian life lived in our own power is going to be a life of frustration. And I don't need to convince you of this because I know you've experienced it. I know you've tried to do it on your own to be good enough for God or good enough for your family or hold it together or just, man, maybe God did something and you're hurt a little bit, so you're just going to do it your own way and say, you know, forget you, God. Well, guess what? This same problem has been going on for 2,000 years. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul says to the Galatians, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you have heard?" And then he says this in verse 3, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" The church is, you know, not even 100 years old, and the problem already exists. Instead of relying on the Spirit of God, the Galatians were relying on their own human effort to do this thing, and it's not going to work. It might work if the hymn had gone, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved an incredibly awesome person like me." But that's not it. We're sinful. Our heart's sinful. We need the Spirit of God to be alive in us. And this isn't a natural thing I'm talking about. You may have picked up on this. This is a supernatural thing. But the deal is this, that the essence of the Christian life is way more about what God does in and through you than about what you do for God. So maybe that's where you're going to walk away today. Just the freedom to know, and it's not on your shoulders. It's not about you being good enough for God or what you need to pay back to Him. It's about what you let God do in and through you. You see, the life of Jesus is meant to be replicated in you. Thanks, Janelle. This is Janelle, by the way. She does an awesome job helping us with worship arts and everything that goes on here on Sunday mornings. So how practically can we experience the filling of God, of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a regular basis? And to do this, we are going to use a bit of an analogy, which I love for many reasons. We're going to make some chocolate milk. So we're going to do this little thing, and we're going to see with chocolate milk how we can better experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. All righty. We have to make 2 gallons because one is not enough. I really hope that nozzle's off. We're good. There's a lot of exciting things that could happen this morning. Let's hope it goes as planned. All right, there's one. So as I'm pouring this out, this milk right here is going to represent the man without the Spirit of God. Or woman. Now what's interesting is we don't need to speculate about that because the Bible tells us about that. All right. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it talks about the person without the Spirit. It says, "The one without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And they cannot understand them because these things are spiritually discerned." Have you ever experienced this? Just someone that doesn't know Jesus, just there's certain things that doesn't make sense. Like, why would you worship God? Why would you believe in God? Why would you obey God? Why would God dictate what you do? Why would you go to church, give to church, serve in your church? Why would you want to share what you believe with others? Why do you have the faith that you have? Why do you love the way that you do, even when others are being the way they are to you? So Scripture says that without the Spirit of God, there are spiritually discerned things that we are not going to be able to understand. But Scripture also says that when we receive Christ, we receive this incredible gift of the Spirit of God living inside of us. Listen to Ephesians 1:13-14. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So for this analogy, representing the Holy Spirit today is genuine 24 ounces of Hershey's chocolate syrup. Scripture says that when you come to Christ, when you repent, when you turn to him, you receive a little bit of the Spirit? No. It says you receive the Spirit of God. There's more. Think that's enough? Nope, there's more. Oh. We're reaching 100% there. All right. And if you look at this verse, I love some of these words because it's not just a, all right, you got it and you lose it and you get it again. He says, you were marked with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, what? Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. If you are God's person, you've got the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, a seal, a guarantee of the inheritance that is to come. So, can you remove the chocolate at this point? No, I think that would be, maybe if we got 100 scientists on this, we'd be able to figure that one out, but for the illustration's purposes, no. That's your deposit, that's your guarantee, that is the inheritance. It would be extremely hard to take that out. And similarly, once you have the Spirit of God inside of you, the Scriptures say that as God's child, the Holy Spirit is his seal, his proof, his guarantee that you are going to spend eternity with him. But here's another question. Is that chocolate milk? If you drink this, you're either going to get milk or some really thick chocolatey goodness. So the way that we would describe this, some big words for this is the person who is indwelled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in them, but is not filled with the Spirit. And friends, I hope that it hits you a little bit that this is one of the saddest things that you can see. The Christian, living the Christian life with all the resources of the Spirit inside of him, but choosing not to be filled, choosing to do it in their own strength. Choosing to cut down trees with your chainsaw that's not fired up. And Scripture describes this as the self-centered Christian. In 1 Corinthians 3, we read Paul writing to the Corinthians saying, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men?" What biting words. "I could not address you as spiritual. I look at your life and I cannot see the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. I cannot say that you are spiritual." But note that he doesn't call them losers. He doesn't say, "Hey, you guys are out because of this." He still says, "Brothers. Hey, brothers, brothers in Jesus, you got the Spirit, but I can't address you as spiritual because you're not stirring it up. I see more of the world in you than I do the Spirit of God. Mere infants in Christ." And I find it interesting when he says, "Since there is jealousy and quarreling among you." Sounds like selfish stuff. Sounds kind of like I stuff. Jealousy, quarreling. Sometimes we see that in the church. Sometimes it shows up in other ways. One of the ways I see it is when I bump up against people's comments that are just like, "I wish it was more this way. I wish church was like this. I wish." That's worldly, friends. When it's all about you and your preferences, that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of the world. It's consumerism. When the Spirit of God is alive in you, you're giving away and sacrificing your preferences to bless others. You decrease and he increases. It's less about the people in this room and it's more about Jesus, and we're more alive in him. So let's stir it up. Less of us, more of him. Do you know that you are commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit? It comes in a kind of a cool way in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Paul instructed the church in Ephesians to not get drunk on wine, but instead to be filled with the Spirit. I love this picture because similarly, there is an act of surrender. You can surrender yourself to alcohol, and the alcohol can take over and dictate your decisions. It says that doesn't end up well. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. You can give yourself over to God, and he can fill you, and he can direct you, and you can love out of his power, and he can overflow life through you. That's what we're supposed to do. But how? Well, simply by faith. If we know God wants us to be filled with his Spirit, well, what does that mean for this verse in 1 John chapter 5? Where it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Let me translate that quite simply. If God's will is for you to be filled with the Spirit, and by faith you ask for God to do just that, you will find him doing what you've asked. And there's a bit of a journey to this. We'll talk about that even more in 3 weeks. Of saying, "God, less of me, more of you. God, I realize this area of selfishness in my life. I repent of that and I turn to you, Father God. My desire is not to be led by me, but to be surrendered to your will. God, I yield to what you want to do. And I trust your leading in my life. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Guide me. Direct me." You pray those prayers in your life and you're going to start to notice something. Your life looks different. Stir it up by faith. Come to God. Express your desire, repent of your sin, yield to him. and watch him change you from the inside out. Suddenly, the chocolate syrup's not just sitting at the bottom, but it's permeating more and more aspects of your life. And people start to look at you and they see less of you and more of the Spirit alive in you. Now, if I stopped stirring that and left that there for a little while, the two will separate again. So this isn't just a one-time thing. This is the day-to-day experience of the Christian life. Continue to stir it up. Continue to give God more of you. You'll find yourself opening up to God in ways that you didn't think possible. God speaking in areas of your life you didn't know existed. And more of him alive in you. I love the way Galatians describes this Spirit-filled life. Because it says in chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit of God in us is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. And against these things, there is no law. Do you need more love in your life? Surrender the Spirit. Allow him to produce his fruit. Do you need more joy, more peace, more kindness, more gentleness, more self-control? The Spirit of God, that's his fruit, not your fruit. When I was working at USC, I met a guy named James, and I had the chance to share the good news of Jesus with him. And he turned to Jesus and gave his life to him, and his life started to change. And he sent me this email one day. Because one day it clicked for him, and you'll notice in this email, he's not able to identify the Holy Spirit by name. But you're going to start to see him seeing the Spirit alive in him. He says, "Greg, I'm emailing you to share that I just had the most incredible and encouraging hour with the Lord. I woke up this morning feeling discontent and unsure about God's role in my life and his existence. But I decided this time not to run away and really spend some time praying. I prayed with him for about 20 minutes and really felt him speak to me and reveal things that I never would have been able to know about myself. Then he directed me to really understand Christ's role in my life. I realized that I never was really giving myself to Christ. I realized that I have to have faith in God that he will change me." That's leaking a little bit. There we go. "That he will change me and not try to control the change, but instead to rejoice in it. Instead, I should focus my time on knowing him and worshiping him so that I'll always be close to him, and therefore he'll always be working on me. Essentially, I should let him direct my growth and change and not focus on asking him to grow me in areas that I want, but what he wants. In Jesus, James." Friends, I don't want you to miss out this morning. I don't know whether you're missing out on the Spirit in you, on knowing the Spirit, or relying on the Spirit. But you don't have to leave here today without knowing that the Spirit's in control. As we close today, I invite you just to bow in prayer with me. And I'm going to pray over you Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, and then give you a moment of silence just to respond to God yourself. And I encourage you to invite him, invite the Spirit, to not just indwell, but to fill you and lead you and guide you today. Let's pray together. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Spend some time taking that to him right now.
Father God, for my brothers and sisters here this morning, I pray that they would be strengthened in their inner being through the power of the Spirit, Father God, that they may experience the fullness of you dwelling inside of them. May they go out of this room with hope, with strength, with energy, with love. Father, for those that maybe prayed that prayer but aren't feeling it, give them the faith to continue just to stir it, Father God. To by faith say, God, thank you for what you have given me in your Spirit. I trust you. I give myself to you. I walk with you. Lord God, we pray for this church, that we would be a church empowered and led by your Spirit. We don't want to be just the milk or the milk with the chocolate at the bottom, God. We want you to permeate our lives and to make a difference. I pray that this week we would see it in experience and the world around us would see it in experience, Father God. Lord, thank you that this is something we can learn to grow in and walk in. Even if we're struggling to get it this morning, you walk alongside of us and you will help us to walk in and experience your Spirit. And we pray that in the coming weeks that you would continue to teach us, grow us, and especially grow our dependence in you. So God, we thank you for the work that you are doing in and around us. We thank you for the incredible gift of your Holy Spirit. May we trust in him today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, this week I pray that the Holy Spirit is not the forgotten God in your life. That if you bump up against times where you realize you're doing your own strength, that you would just hit pause and invite him back into taking control and leading you forward. And next week we're going to get the opportunity to come back here and talk candidly about some of the fears that might get in the way. What are some of the reasons why we might hold back from the Spirit of God a little bit? Maybe there's something more you need to talk about or prayer that you need. Whatever God was speaking to you this morning, I invite you to lean into it, come forward, connect with us. I'm excited for what God's doing in and through you, in and through us. Have a blessed week. We'll see you back here next Sunday.